I think Professor Umbridge is probably the most evil character I have ever encountered in fiction.
Which one is that?
She's the High Inquisitor.
The teacher that comes and teaches Defense Against the Dark Arts, wears all the pink, likes cats.
I've watched a lot of anime between now and reading those books, so a lot of those archetypes have been covered by 18 different characters in the meantime, so pardon me if I don't remember.
Well, howdy, howdy, everybody. Welcome to episode 410 of the Nintendo Oki podcast for Monday, April the 16th, 2018. I'm your host, Tony, and joining me, as he does every week, we got Shelby.
Tony.
What's up?
Have you ever wished you had a PhD in snacks?
All the time, actually.
All right. Well, here's the thing. When I was with Shannon and his family over in where we were, Shannon kind of changed my life. He introduced me to these third-party off-brand Cheez-Its, and this is I've decided to go on a Cheez-It pilgrimage.
I mean, Cheez-Its are like a big deal to you, too.
They are, and I'm not necessarily saying that these third-party ones that Shannon introduced me to do were the best, but if Cheez-Its from a dollar store could be this good, like, my eyes have been opened to the possibilities, Tony.
Do we have these knockoff Cheez-Its in Tulsa?
Yeah, they're just, you go to Dollar Tree, and they're just like the Harvest, whatever, house brand Cheez-Its, and they're, like I say, they're not better than Cheez-Its, but they're good. It's like a little bit of cheese flavor with the consistency of like a club cracker. So they're delightful.
So, better than Cheez Nips, not as good as Cheez-Its.
Yeah, and this here's the thing. I'm gonna give Cheez Nips a shot. I know in the past I've had some bad things to say about Cheez Nips, but I think it's time, as part of this pilgrimage, I think everybody should get a fair shake.
Yeah, you've said some terrible things whenever I brought up Cheez Nips in the past.
I have. Not a fan.
What have you done to him, Shannon?
I introduced him to Dollar Tree brand snacks. I mean, I frequent the Dollar Tree trying to save some money, and they have good stuff. So, I don't know. I
also got, like, their garden cracker things too. It's pretty good too.
Yep. I'm a big fan of they've got like this chicken, it's chicken salad like in a can, but it comes with club crackers and it's all in a box, and it's essentially lunch for me for a buck.
I see those like with like tuna salad.
Yeah, I see a lot of Sunkist tuna. Not Sunkist. Is it Sunkist?
No, I think that is a drink.
Sunkist is oranges, yeah.
Starkist, do you think it's
Starkist? That's it. Hey, you know what? Too many kists out there in the branding world.
Also joining us this week, we got Ethan.
Hi.
What kind of Dollar Tree stuff do you enjoy, Ethan?
Save those hot questions for the email segment.
Right?
So there you go. Okay. Dollar Tree stuff. Yeah, I go to the Dollar Tree all the time, but we usually do that to like buy silly little toys for the kids. And
yeah, me too. Usually I just go and look at the toys because they got like those slappy hand things and like the off-brand Power Rangers stuff. And they always got that weird cowboy and Indian bow and arrow in the weird package.
With the like suction cup on the end of it?
Yeah, they probably don't work.
No, I don't think they do. Like, The last time we took Andrew, he got obsessed with what he calls a scuba mask. But, you know, it's just a face mask you wear when you go swimming. And he's all the time asking if we can go get that from the Dollar Tree.
There's some good stuff at Dollar Tree stores. Like, I got some little knockoff Power Ranger / robot looking dudes a long time ago from a dollar store. Mm-hmm. And I still have those guys. Those guys are awesome. You know, didn't have a lot of money growing up, so those were basically my Power Ranger toys when I was little. And they're pretty rad. They don't move or anything. They're just like stiff little dudes, but they're pretty awesome.
Yeah, and most of the toys there have terrible paint jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you know what? They're making this stuff for a dollar. They got to cut some corners.
Well, that's true. I can remember being like super excited going to the Dollar Tree when I was a kid because your parents would give you like $5 and you felt like the biggest, you know, rich man in the world. You go buy all the toys for $5 at the Dollar Tree.
Yeah, little kids don't really have a concept of money. It's all quantity.
That's pretty true.
I remember
that is 100% accurate because a bag of jelly beans or a bag of Dum Dums, man, Travis thinks he's in candy heaven.
I remember being in like, I was doing Christmas shopping or something one year, a long, long time ago. And this mom had two kids and one kid was super happy. The other kid, super not happy and crying and crying and crying. And the kid that wasn't crying was holding two toys. The kid that was crying holding one toy. And the mother was desperately trying to explain, no, you don't understand. The one toy you have costs as much as the two that he has. Nope.
That absolutely does not matter. It is the number of things, not the value of those things for small kids. Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Like, no, it's not that I love you less. It's just like, this is a quality.
You're getting a better toy. But that better toy costs more money. Yeah. I don't care.
That's not how it works. He got two toys. I got one. Cry.
All right. Well, let's leave the dollar store, take a quick break, come back and talk about some video games. Here we go, Ethan. You're up. What have you been playing this week?
I played Metal Gear Survive.
I knew it. No, I mean, literally, I knew it. Like, I saw, like, I turned on my PS4 earlier, and it's like, Ethan got trophies of Metal Gear Survive.
Yeah. So, last week, whenever I said the thing about them being, like, $17 each.
Yeah.
And I didn't say I bought them. That was a clever ruse, because
I bought them.
I bought multiple copies, so that way I could make some other people suffer with me.
You say suffer, are you enjoying
it? Well, two of them have not done nothing but complain about it. The other one, he's enjoyed it a little bit.
Okay. I can probably figure out exactly whom you're speaking of, but you know what? We'll save that for the after show.
What about you, though? Have you actually been enjoying the game? I watched you stream for a little bit.
It is a tough game.
Tough to love or just tough to play?
The survival aspect on there, you have to maintain your food and water intake, and then if you go out traveling, if you're in the dust areas, they're like, we'll call them a contaminated zone,
right,
sort of thing, and you have to have a gas mask and air tank so you can breathe, or else you just start losing HP in there.
There's
a lot to keep track of, and then they kind of have that Metal Gear Solid 3 healing aspect where it's like, oh, I broke, or I got this and I need to fix it right away, and so I have to go to a menu and heal, and it takes a moment or something.
Because that was everybody's favorite part of Metal Gear Solid 3. It was like, okay, I gotta pull the wound out, now I gotta sanitize it, now I gotta stitch it up, now I gotta put antiseptic, now I gotta put a bandage.
This is a little more streamlined than that. Well, a lot more streamlined than that.
Right.
You just have to have the right item and you just hold X, but you're sitting there waiting for it to heal, and that's time you could be using to run away from
whatever crystal headed thing is chasing you.
Yeah. And on top of that, you have to maintain your weapons and armor durability. It's really challenging, especially early game, because food is a scarce resource.
Right.
I don't know. Water is pretty much unlimited at the start, but it's all dirty water, so that's easy to drink and get infected by. Ugh.
I'm not sure why I was surprised. The game is called Metal Gear Survive, but for some reason I was surprised they had so much survival game, so many survival game
it is very surprising, and it seems a lot of thought went into that, especially hooks. Just having to cook various foods and the odds of getting various symptoms from eating a raw piece of meat or whatever you get. And then you can also store food and it will eventually rot as well.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I want to know, where does the Metal Gear portion of this come in? Because all I saw while I was watching you stream was like Resident Evil stuff.
It, it takes place between Metal Gear V, Ground Zeroes, and Phantom Pain.
Okay.
But it's they called it a pseudo history. And it's just.
So far, you're saying so far there hasn't been any Metal Gears other than the one in the title. Literally the words.
Like, yeah, you know, unless you count like the online stuff, which right now they have the Metal Gear Solid 3 event going on. So Shagohod's been seen driving around in those events when you summon him in. I think I can summon Metal Gear Ray. I have no idea. I haven't tried.
Okay,
it's kind of weird.
I believe every Metal Gear game. I don't know about the Acid games, but I'm pretty sure they all had some sort of Metal Gear in them.
One of them had two of them. Shannon knows, right? Right?
A lot of this makes no sense. My knowledge of Metal Gear is so little.
Okay, let me break it down for you. There was a dude, and he was a good soldier dude. And then there were some big robots. And then there were some Russians. And then there was another soldier lady who was even better soldier who took a bullet from the Russians so that the U.S. could blow up the robot. And then that happened like 7 more times.
Okay. All right. I know everything now.
Yep.
I'm good.
You're good.
That's right. Super accurate. They just keep rebuilding the same robot and giving it a different name.
There's always a new.
Crazy people. It's some of the weird stuff in this one. Phantom Pain takes place 9 years after Ground Zeroes, but this is taking place like immediately after Ground Zeroes, probably within a couple of months, I think, of that event. And you're in a parallel world called Dite, D-I-T-E. And you're right next to a diamond dog facility, a mother base, essentially. Which,
why would it be Diamond Dog? Diamond Dog didn't exist yet.
Yeah, that's the weird thing. It's like, why do they put Diamond Dogs on here? You're right next to Outer Heaven, I guess, is what it is at the time. Oh, geez, what were they in Peace Walker?
I forget, too. It'll come to me.
But you're at that base, so it doesn't make any sense for this other base that doesn't exist yet to be there. But
yeah.
But then again, they said something like time anomalies. That's wormholes. Why you're able to get the Metal Gear Solid 3 stuff.
So. Wormholes, son. That's how they fix it.
That's how you fix everything.
Oh, man. I came across what I think they called it the final boss in the reading I saw. I came across it super early in the game.
Oh, well, you already beat it then. Great.
I didn't even challenge it. It said don't. I took one look, decided to sit there watching it for a moment, and then what I thought was just its body was like the front fourth of its body.
Oh. Was it?
It was a very weird creature. I'm happy I didn't find it. What?
It wasn't a giant robot.
No, it was a. I'm not going to say sentient, but it was definitely living.
Sounds more like a Shadow of the Colossus villain.
Yeah, something like that.
Huh.
It just kind of roams the area. You can feel like the controller start rumbling a little bit every time it takes a step.
Mm.
And so, like, if you're out wandering around, you start hearing, feeling that shake, you can start looking around trying to find it, but the dust is so thick, you could be, like, right up on it before you see it.
Okay, Ethan, I'm going to ask you a question.
Sure.
You have one-word answers you can give.
One-word answers.
Are you enjoying this game?
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Great.
That's all that matters.
There you go, yeah.
It is deeper than I thought it would, and... it's a little more complex in some aspects, so yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Especially since you paid you bought multiple copies, but you know, $17 for the one copy, so you know, it's hard to hard to not have a good time with a game that costs less than $20 for something like that. That was $60.
Well, one coffee was $22, but we're not getting into that.
Still, bargain price for a game that was full price very recently.
Like a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
The one other thing I played that's not Monster Hunter, that's not Destiny 2, sorry, Cole, I'm not mentioning those, what we did, is Portal 2 again.
Yes.
Me and Tony did some more co-op on there.
Yep, I think we're getting close to the end, I think.
We have the final third of the game, I think.
Yeah.
Unless we decide to go for the challenge mode.
We'll have to wait and see on that.
Yeah, I don't know how hard that would be.
I still, you're doing more of the portal than I'm doing of the portal, but, you know, it's still fun.
If I get too commandy, just say, hey, let me try something.
Oh, no, I don't care.
When I played Portal 2 co-op way back when, it was definitely the person I was playing it with. There'd be puzzles for, like, one of us would just be like, I don't even know how this controller works, and the other person would figure the whole thing out. Then the next puzzle, the person who figured out the previous one would be like, now I don't know how the controller works, and the other person would figure it out. So it was definitely a team effort.
Yeah.
I am finding it easier with a co-op partner instead of whenever I would do it solo.
I would imagine it is easier if you have, you know, the correct number of players playing the game.
Arguable.
Well, there are some things that really require some timing on the part of two players.
Yeah.
Oh, like that part where we were trying to go in the same hole at the same time.
Yeah.
And we weren't supposed to.
It's like two people trying to go through the same slot of a rotating door. It's like, well, this is just awkward. We're stuck with this now, so we got to go.
Yep.
Except the door was too small to get through.
So,
for one of us.
And there was a lot of me dying.
Yeah, robots, whatever.
That happened a lot.
There may have been some betrayals every so often as well.
There absolutely were. So, but it was fun. I'm looking forward to finishing that and saying I've completed Portal 2.
What are you buying?
So yeah, I bought the Metal Gear Survive, like four copies of that.
Times four.
Yeah.
All right. Was that it?
That's it.
All right, Shannon. What about you? What have you been playing?
I've been playing Good Pizza, Great Pizza.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
Another one. Bites the pizza.
Pizza.
Another one bites the crust.
There you go.
That's way better. One guy in the whole room paying attention.
Man, you know, I had a moment where a woman asked for a plain pizza, and I thought for sure that just meant cheese pizza. But as it turns out, she just wanted bread.
You learn very quickly she just wants warm bread.
Yeah. And I also don't quite understand why I'm losing. If I ask somebody to elaborate, why am I losing a tip?
Because they want you to figure it out with the first part of the order they give you.
You're not necessarily,
that's not how it works.
You're not necessarily losing a tip. I think they just get impatient faster. Like if you ask them for more clarification, their happiness meter drains like a significant percentage when you do that. So
yeah.
You have less time to make the pizza before their mood gets unhappy.
Yeah. Okay. I really think if, you know, in a real life situation, somebody ordering a pizza is not necessarily going to be hyper cryptic.
Like, dude, these people are.
These people take pizza seriously,
about,
man,
their pizza, yes.
Keep in mind, PNN is a thing in this world. Like, people take pizza seriously.
That's a good point.
But, you know, you would think that somebody just walks in, give me warm bread.
Go to the bakery.
Wouldn't be that. Yeah, you don't think they'd be that critical, but hey.
Yep.
Oh, no, they are.
But I am slowly unlocking more ingredients and finding that the more ingredients I get, the more complicated and hectic the game becomes, and the less likely I am to turn a profit at the end of the day.
You got to be, I learned after a while that you got to be a little less generous with the toppings. So you got to kind of have a system down, like, you know, you only use so much sauce, only use so much cheese. That seems to work out for me. I'm kind of saving up now. I've got pepperoni, cheese, mushrooms, and sausage.
Yeah, that's what I've got.
I'm saving up money to get the thing that tells me how to put the ingredients on, that always gives you the decal on the pizza, basically, the outline.
That is, I think, going to be the biggest help in that game.
Yeah.
Because I think the only time they ever tell you is very early in the game when you're first doing that first pepperoni pizza. After that, they're just like, you figure it out on your own.
Yeah, like the mushroom, like there was a little, it told me how to put the mushrooms on like when I bought it, but not anytime when I put them on. And I've definitely noticed, like, if you put a pepperoni on top of another pepperoni, yo, they don't like that. You got it. They're particular about their pizza, so I figure that guide will help me make better pizzas. But it's like $125, so I just had to repair my oven, and I bought the mushrooms. Like, all right, I'm gonna save up for a while. So
yeah, I actually downloaded the game a second time this week because I had been playing on my phone.
respec.
And I downloaded it onto my tablet to see if it would be any easier, and I have found it to be a little bit easier to put everything where it needs to be
with the bigger
screen. On the pizzas with the bigger screen.
Yeah, that makes sense. A big, more surface area, easier to do. Because, I mean, it wants you, you know, the pepperoni, like when you first do it, you're supposed to put 18 pepperonis evenly spread so you can get, you know, so you can get your six slices out of the pizza.
Yeah.
Yep. Unless somebody wants four or eight.
Or eight, yeah. Sometimes you got to watch for that. I think I had somebody one time just cut the pizza in half. I'm like, okay.
I haven't had that happen yet.
I have.
four is the least number I've seen.
They wanted a half and half pizza cut horizontally.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, so what's the point in doing it half and half? Because if I cut it horizontally, you're not going to get one half that's one half.
Yeah. What's the... The thing that gets me is some of the orders that these people have. They'll be like, I want a half pepperoni, half cheese. The side with pepperoni has to have no sauce. The side with half cheese has to have no whatever. And you have to try to remember that. And then figuring out the best way to make a pizza that only has half of it with sauce on it is just weird.
Yeah, you think you got the line, but then you cut it and you go, oh, no, there's sauce all over this part. I messed up.
So, yeah, that's been weird. And make sure, if you haven't, that you're feeding the homeless people.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, so, because those homeless people will come back and there'll be a big bonus that you get.
Oh, the people that show up that don't have money? Yeah. I've given a pizza to anyone that showed up in my place. Yeah, I don't turn anybody away.
Yeah.
I thought there was a button, like, give homeless people, or, like, to give the extra pizzas to the homeless. I'm like, I haven't seen that.
The people that come in and like, I don't have any money, but I would really like a pizza.
So it pays to be generous.
I had a kid walk in one day. It's like, I ain't got no money, but can I have a pizza? Mom told me to come here and get a pizza. I'm like, all right, kid, I'll make you a pizza, sure. And then like the next day, it's like, oh, here's the money from yesterday. Thanks, bye. I'm like, oh. Okay.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I do remember the kid coming in. He's like, I don't have enough money to buy a whole pizza. What will this get me? And I just make him whatever and give him the pizza. I don't care. You come into my restaurant, you're getting pizza.
You're walking out with pizza. Yeah, no kidding. Take care of the pizza people.
So, but yeah, that game. I am absolutely adoring this game.
Let's see the only other game I played this week is Drop Mix.
Of course.
So I had almost completed the collection of cards last week without buying the game. this week I finally found the game at a good price. I am very glad I jumped into this and also incredibly horrified at how deep this is going to go over the next year.
Yeah.
You
said they announced a second season of cards, right?
Yep. The first season, there are exactly 310 cards in this first season up to this point, and we're almost at a full year. September will be a full year of this game. So I'm also a little worried because the competitive part of this game, like I've started doing the clash mode, which is, you know, you build a deck. One of the rules in the deck is you can have multiples of a card in your deck. So if you're trying to go for the competitive nature of this game, you might want to have two of the same card in your deck. And these cards are not random, so nobody's trading them. So if you want a duplicate of a particular card, you need to go out and actually buy that playlist pack again. Say I want two of the Doctor Who theme song vocal track. I need to go out and buy that electronic playlist pack again. So I don't know what the heck this is going to end up doing.
What's the maximum number of a single card you can have in the deck?
Two.
Okay, you're not going to buy two of everything, are you?
No.
You haven't already bought two of everything.
No. No. No.
You're not lying to me, are you?
I'm not lying. Okay. I have not bought two of everything, but I have bought two of the electronic playlist pack.
Okay.
And I've also, so one of the things in this game is the app is constantly recording your collection, which I thought was interesting because the NFC chips are all unique, very similar to Amiibo, how, you know, just scanning it, you might have two Star Foxes, but even though they're both the exact same figure, they're going to read up as different codes. Right. I remember us testing this in the past.
It only works with Breath of the Wild, to my knowledge, so far. But yeah, that did prove that every one of them is unique in some way.
Yeah, the same is true for Drop Mix, because when you add cards to your collection within the app, say I have two of that Doctor Who card, when I add one of them to my collection, it then puts a ticker and it tells me that I own one of that card. When I put the same card on again, it says, hey, you already got that one. If I put the other one on there, it says, hey, this hasn't been registered to your collection yet. So each one has its own unique code.
Interesting.
So
I wonder how many you can feed that thing. What if you can feed it like 708 Doctor Who cards?
I don't want to jump down that hole. I am okay with not amassing more than two of the same card on any one of these, and I don't really feel I want to push myself to find out how far it'll go. But the deck builder tool is really cool. So you can, without having to actually sit down and shuffle through all the cards, you can sit down and you can look on the app what you have in your collection. And I can just do this, like, if I'm on my lunch break away from home, I don't have the Drop Mix board hooked up or anything, I can just go into my collection, go into the deck builder, and start fooling around with what cards I want to turn into a deck, or if I just want to look through all of the artwork, or if I just want to go in and look at the information of each one of these songs or each one of these stems. It's really neat.
So there's an app that shows you what cards you have, and there's like little check marks next to the ones you have and stuff like that.
It's within the app itself. So within the Drop Mix app,
okay,
it gives you, and it
so it's like the poster you would put on your wall, like put the check mark next to the toys you have.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. The technology's great. I'm not getting into Drop Mix, but I just love having a list and having check. I love spreadsheets, Tony. I just love having a list and checking off the things that I have.
There's a reason you like Persona.
Yeah.
Hey Shelby, what if each one of the playlists that are currently available, they were grayed out until you scanned all of those cards into your collection, and then once you scanned all of those cards into your collection, the logo for the playlist turned bright gold and shiny.
Sounds really good. Because
it knew that you had all the cards.
That makes me feel really good inside. I'm not getting into Drop Mix, but that's cool.
It's great. Oh man, I sat down and I played it with my nephew and my brother-in-law, and Lauren was in the room. And then before you knew it, everybody was sitting around mixing up cards, and
there was a rave. I couldn't even stop it.
It was great. I had my phone was hooked up through the Amazon Echo, so it was blasting the music loud in the house, and we were all just sitting down at the kitchen table playing around with the cards and doing some freestyle. It was great.
Cool.
This game is fantastic. That's all I played.
What are you buying?
Amazon had a huge price error on Kindle Paperwhites on Monday, and what? I grabbed a Kindle Paperwhite for $40.
Oh,
nice.
Okay, cool. Yep.
Upped it to one day shipping, so it shipped out before they started canceling orders. Because on Twitter, a lot of people who either did the 2 day or tried to do the super saver shipping, Amazon caught on and canceled those orders. Big tip. Get a price error, express ship it. It's worth the extra $5. But and then more drop mix stuff. I mean,
you're all in at this point. Like, there's no turning back. You're too far beyond the entrance. You're like, there's no light at either end of this tunnel. You're just lost in the darkness.
Look, I found a really good binder that just matches the color scheme of
yeah,
drop mix.
You nailed that. You sent me that picture. Yeah.
Man, those binders are so good. They're great. They're at Target. And then, like I said, I picked up another electronic playlist pack, and I finally scored the packs promo cards through an eBay bid. So that was good. I now, whenever that shows up, I'll have everything currently available, and now I can just keep on top of that subreddit and know when new stuff's going live. I figure if I stay ahead of the curve, now I've got everything that's already out. I don't have to worry about missing anything or having to go back and overpay for it, you know.
No, but right? Now you're committed. Now you have to buy it the second it comes out. That's the thing.
Yeah, I will bear this burden, and I will fill this binder, and I'll continue to have fun mixing songs.
Yeah, it's cool that I would love to be able to do all that. I'm not getting in a drop mix, but it's cool to play around with that stuff. But I don't know that I would play around with it as much as you do. So having access to a friend's collection on maybe a basis every now and then would probably be enough to scratch that itch for me. That, and I bought it from my brother, so he would buy a bunch of cards so I could play with his. So that's the Ponzi scheme I'm pulling on that one. So, you know.
Let everybody else complete the collection for you.
Yep. I do that with stuff. I like, if there's something I like, but I can't just buy buying it for myself, I buy it for somebody else. You guys haven't caught on to some of the gifts I give at some point.
Alrighty then.
Truth's out.
Yep, that's it for me.
All right. What about you, Shelby?
I don't really have much to say about the games I've been playing a lot. More Good Pizza, Great Pizza, a little bit here and there. I think everyone's caught up to me or probably passed me at some point, because I only play it maybe like once or twice a week, and I just play like one day, so I don't get a bunch of time in. But it's enough to, you know, just make me smile.
Yeah.
Persona 2 Eternal Punishment. For some reason, okay, so there's a point where the story branches, and you can like, there's parallel paths that I think reconverge toward the ending of the game. And I played down one path. And then I decided to go back and play the other path as well. So now I'm playing this game twice.
Yay.
Yeah, because I'm probably only ever going to play it once. So I want to see everything. But this probably means it'll take me an extra 30 hours. Maybe. I don't know. It was also an excuse for me to play the slot machine for like a week. That was fun too. I got a little tired of the slot machine. I think I overdid it, Tony.
Did you?
A little bit. So like, it's set up to where if you do things right, you can't lose money. So you can just like, on the original PlayStation, turn a turbo controller on, leave the house for 3 hours, come back and have a ton of money. But yeah, there's no turbo function on the Vita. Unless I download some sort of weird plug-in or something like that that I wasn't really too comfortable with. So I just had to sit there and keep pushing triangle.
Put it on a PlayStation TV.
Sorry?
Put it on a PlayStation TV.
What turbo functionality do I have at that point, though? I don't have any turbo PS3 controllers.
No, but you have the option to find one.
Yeah, but by the time I'd bought one and it arrived, and I don't want to buy a controller specifically for a turbo function in a slot machine in one game. That seems a little too much.
Okay. That's fair.
You're not wrong. The option was there, but I mean, I just pushed the triangle button for a while. So that's the thing. Doing that, I'm going to be playing that for a long time to come. I played some more Blue Reflection, and man, did I hit a wall.
Oh, no.
So I got to what I'm going to call like the second big boss. And not that guy, Ethan. Different big boss. This one doesn't have an eye patch. This one looks like a tank. It looked okay. For anyone that
like a Metal Gear,
For anybody that ever watched Power Rangers, remember the big turtle guy called Titanus?
Yes.
It looks like a Brontosaurus. No, the turtle guy is a different guy. The turtle guy or Titanus, either one. I forget. It looks like that. It's just like a giant tank with a cannon and a bunch of things sticking up, and it rolled me twice. So I walked up to this thing. I'm like, I got this. And I start hitting it. I'm like, oh, it's got 13,000 health. And then my people only have like 200 each. This is going to take a while. But then it's also got like two other enemies that have 600 health each. I'm like, okay, I'll beat them up. But then like halfway through the fight, two more enemies show up and they've all got like over 1,000 health. And I just get rolled because they get five turns and I just get my butt kicked. And I did it a second time, and it went bad again, like even with focusing on healing and trying to control things. So, I don't know.
Sounds rough.
Yeah, I checked a FAQ, and it was kind of using the strategy that I used the first time. So, I don't know. Shannon mentioned that you can change the difficulty settings and stuff on the fly. So, yep. I might circle back around and try playing that on easy just to get through it. Otherwise, if I can't get through this, that may be the end of Blue Reflection, so... Well, I'll give that another shot later. I just didn't want to play that boss fight for a third time in a row. And I've been playing a little bit more of everyone's favorite t-shirt simulator, Girls in Panzer Dream Tank Match. I know some people posting all kinds of Dream Tank Match pictures. Ethan was making his own. Some people were just posting pictures of those shirts in the Facebook group. I'm glad everyone can share in that, the t-shirt singularity there. That was fun. But yeah, they're still just talking in that game. Hey, I finally got to a part. So I replayed my favorite scene of the movie. And that was like the first time in this game where it's like actually been like, yo, here you are a tank and there are three other enemy tanks and you need to destroy all of them before you can move on. So that was fun. That was an actual tank match. And plus it was like my favorite scene from the movie where it's got like different music and stuff like that, like some polka music. It's very fun. I like the Girls in Panzer a lot if you haven't figured it out. But then the next thing was like, oh, they talk for like 10 minutes and then I play like a 15 second match. And then because it's just like, oh, drive here. And you do that. Like, all right, now we're going to talk some more. Like I said, all very good talking, all voice acted, all very well done. Just, you know, there's not a lot of tank.
A little much.
Yeah. You know what? It's like a visual novel. And eventually I'll play through all the visual novel stuff and unlock stuff. And then I can just drive around and shoot tanks. It's pretty fun. Liking that game a lot. Just I want more tanks. Less talk, more. Help me out, Shannon. You came up with the crust thing. Tank? Less talk, more tank? That didn't work, though. You gotta rhyme with talk. Okay, I'm going to workshop that one.
What are you buying?
Like a bandit. I bought an Android. There, I said it.
Ooh.
Umaru-chan from Himoto Umaru-chan. I bought that one. Whoa. It finally got to a low enough price on Amazon in a bit. So, got that one rolling in. This is an anime character. Long story short, she's like the perfect high school student, but when she goes home, she basically devolves into like a little hamster girl. And the only person that ever sees the side of her is her older brother. And the show is about him trying to... you know, control his little sister's hamster girl ranting and raving, all the while everyone's else like, oh, she's the perfect girl. She's so nice and studyful. I'm like, no, she's a monster. She buys things on Amazon and plays video games and eats snacks all day.
This is a perfect Nendoroid.
It's very good. And like I said, my thing with Nendoroids, I don't buy them unless they look like the characters, and they totally made this look like her little hamster girl version, so...
She's got a little Vita.
Yeah.
this is great.
It's very cute. But I bought that, so that's going to be my seventh Nendoroid, eighth. The Kirby Robobot one hasn't showed up yet. But, oh my gosh, that one's so cool. Anyway, that is all for me, Tony.
What's up?
Why don't you tell me about some things that are little and cute?
Pizza.
I love pizza. I made one today.
I didn't eat any pizza today.
Oh, that's okay.
No. So yeah, I played, you know, like we'd mentioned, good pizza, great pizza. And the only other thing I really put any time into this week was, I went back and got back into Mario plus Rabbids a little bit. Finally finished that first full chapter of the game. I think there's four chapters basically broken up into eight levels each. I finished that first one, fought the Donkey Kong Rabbid. And took him down and stopped. I haven't gone back in a couple days. I need to. I just haven't had a chance to the last couple of days. I've been dealing with some stuff at work. I haven't been able to put as much time into the game as I'd really like to.
Yeah, it's hard. I mentioned all those games, but I played each one of those for like, you know, Girls Who Panda for like an hour, Blue Reflection for maybe an hour and a half, like Good Pizza, Great Pizza for like maybe 10 minutes, you know, not a lot of time.
Yeah. I mean, so I finished that first chapter, unlocked a bunch of new stuff, and now I can go back. I'm going to go back through that first chapter again and find all of the hidden stuff that I can now get to that I previously couldn't. And there are also, I think, 10 challenges that you can do spread out through that first chapter of the game, and those give you additional stuff so that you can level up your characters a little bit, get some better gear before going on to chapter 2. I'm going to probably try to finish everything you can do in that first chapter before I move on. But I'm going to put a little bit more time into that. That's really all that I've played this week. I haven't had a lot of time to play much of anything.
Right.
What are you buying?
And I didn't buy anything. So, okay. Let's take a quick break. We will come back and we will talk about the news. Okay, guys. So it looks like there is a bit more news in the Billy Mitchell controversy. You remember us talking about that a few weeks ago?
Yeah, there was some MAME talk around some of his high score tapes and stuff.
Yeah, so apparently that has come to a bit of a conclusion this week. And it has ended with him losing all of his high scores on Twin Galaxies record boards, and they've banned him from ever being allowed to post high scores on their service again.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I guess they're saying, hey, this was MAME the whole time. You lied. Get out.
Yeah, basically, yes.
Wow, okay. That's harsh.
So a lot of people have come out over the last week saying we've known all along that something has been really shady about everything regarding his scores, and they've been talking about it for, you know, over a decade at this point. A lot of them have,
right.
But it sounds like this week people finally listened, and he has had all of his records stripped, not only from Twin Galaxies but also Guinness,
right,
has removed him from their record books as well.
That's sad. Some of those records are legitimate, I think. Like, some of those he did live, but like none of his super huge scores and stuff like that. And like the tape from King of Kong, infamously,
yeah,
you know, that was the stuff. But like, he did, like, one of those scores was live, I think, right? Not one of the big huge ones, but like he had some. I mean, obviously he beat Pac-Man, you know, live. Like, that was a thing that happened. So the man has skill, clearly, but yeah, sounds like some of this stuff has caught up to him.
Yeah, so, and this week someone asked Steve Wiebe, who was the other man in that King of Kong documentary. Those two were going back and forth for a long time with that Donkey Kong world record. His thoughts, and his comment was, the more I thought about it from the King of Kong days, it all seems to make sense now. All the things that were happening at the time, like, why didn't he come out and play me? And why was he inciting whose records were going to be authenticated and whose were going to be dropped? King of Kong referenced that he was a referee and on the board of directors. When that leaked out, it started to make more sense. I'm not the champ anymore, but getting recognition for being the first to a million is a great consolation. That's what I was really bummed out about 11 years ago.
Yeah, there were definitely some stuff in that documentary, you know, the being cut for dramatization. I said it once, I can't say it again. Aside, there was certainly some shady stuff, it seemed, going on with that whole thing, so.
Yeah.
That part where they, like, he set a high scored record live, and then they brought out a tape that he didn't even get to see, and then they just immediately put that score for the tape up without reviewing it or anything, and now that tape was apparently fake from all this, so, yeah.
No. So, but it sounds like that is going to be the end of the Billy Mitchell story,
man,
for the foreseeable future.
That's too bad. The man, whether or not you like Billy Mitchell, and whether or not he cheated on some of this stuff, he did have some skill in there in some places, so.
Yeah.
I guess he's going to just double down on this hot sauce stuff now. So
he was sort of that, you know, after King of Kong, he was the guy that everybody liked to hate.
I mean, he's a good face for competitive video gaming. Certainly. I mean, people remembered him from that movie, like as a villain or not, you know, he was definitely someone that was a good forward-facing person. Well, I don't know if you can say that, arguably, but yeah, no. People knew the name Billy Mitchell, you know?
That they did, and now it's going to be for all of the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
So.
I guess Billy Mitchell is a Pete Rose of competitive Donkey Kong now.
I guess you could say that. But, you know, I think the difference is people actually want Pete Rose to be able to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame, whereas I don't think they want the same thing for Billy Mitchell.
Yeah, give it a couple decades. We'll see what happens.
That may be true. That may be true. So 20 years from now, if we're still doing this show, we'll revisit.
Oh, gosh.
We'll revisit the Billy Mitchell saga.
All right. Well, if 20 years from now we revisit the Billy Mitchell saga, immediately after that, I want to revisit the fact that why are we doing this show 20 years later still?
Here, here.
Capcom is releasing a Mega Man X collection. We've talked about that a few weeks ago. Some details about that collection leaked out, or not leaked out, but were confirmed over this last week, and it is going to be split across two separate compilations. Okay. So there will be the Mega Man X Legacy Collection 1 that will include X1, 2, 3, and 4, and then Legacy Collection 2 will contain 5, 6, 7, and 8.
Weird.
So weird.
Those will be on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. One thing that a lot of people have asked, will the Extreme Mega Man X Extreme games or Command Mission be in these collections? And the answer is no.
Not surprised that the Extreme stuff isn't, because those are the Game Boy Color games. A little bummed that Command Mission isn't, but I guess that's kind of the same thing, similar thing rather, as Mega Man Base not being on the original Mega Man collection, so whatever. Yeah.
This collection will, though, include a 25-minute anime, The Day of Sigma.
Yeah, that's cool. The Sigma origin story thing. I've never actually seen that.
It's pretty cool.
So, what exactly is that?
It's just an OVA. Oh, go ahead, Ethan. You've seen it. You explain.
It's kind of a prequel to the Mega Man X story. Like, you see him and Chill Penguin hanging out, like, fighting a Maverick or something before Sigma takes over. It was originally part of the Mega Man Maverick Hunter X for the PSP stuff, where you could watch it after, I think you had to unlock it. It was pretty fun to watch. Me and Izzy watched it one day.
Yeah.
And had the PSP just propped up on a thing to watch.
So it'll be nice to see that on TV now.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Definitely.
Hopefully it's not PSP quality.
I wouldn't even be mad if it was.
Yeah, honestly, like having that in a better form. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool, though. I'm excited about that. It's a weird way to slice it. Like, the best way to slice it would be it's either all on one, or they divide it into three games across the three different platforms those games on. I don't want it to be on three. I would rather it be on one, so I guess two is a compromise?
But think of the PS2 version of the X collection, or well, the previous generation or so. It was Mega Man X 1 through 6, wasn't it? All in one disc. Along with Rockman Racing.
Yeah, Battle and Chase. Yeah, I mean, they could probably fit it all in one thing. Like, I don't know what their reasoning is for splitting it up like this, whether they just want to have two releases or not. I don't know. I'm going to buy them, so.
I thought it was like an emulation issue at first, but then knowing that X5 and X6 are on the same disc as 7 and 8 is like questionable.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, I'm happy that Capcom is acknowledging that Mega Man exists. So you know what? I'll take what I can get.
And that's going to get people excited for Mega Man 11.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to make it out this year. I mean, they wanted to come out this year for the 30th anniversary, but even though it was technical last year, but I don't know.
Maybe they'll surprise us with Mega Man Legends 3.
Yeah, I bet they will, Ethan.
I bet that'll happen.
Bet that'll happen right away.
Yeah. So both of these games will be out on July 24th. They'll be $20 each. Here in the States, there will be a combo pack for the Xbox One and PS4 that includes both of those games on separate discs. So it's basically just putting both of those packages together.
Right.
For $40. If you want that on Switch, that double pack will include a cartridge for the first set and a download code for the second game.
It's like what they did with the other collection.
Yeah. Man. So if you want both of those games on cartridges on Switch, you're going to have to buy them separately.
Lovely.
I might do that just to have them both on cartridge. Like, yeah. It's the same price.
It's the same price regardless, so there's no reason to pick up the collection on Switch if you want both of those on cartridges.
I mean, I might buy... I'm not going to buy three. I'm not going to buy all three of them. Not going to buy all three. Are they doing that with the Mega Man collection, or are they going to have two separate physical releases in the combo together? I don't think that they are.
Those are going to be separate. So you'll have the two.
Not for X, for the non-X version.
Oh, for the non-X. No, I don't know about that.
Okay, I think the combo is the only way they're releasing it on Switch with the download for two.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll probably buy the two separate physical ones. And maybe the third one.
Why would I buy the third one? It doesn't make any sense.
It's so weird because it'd be nice to have them all like it in one thing. It'd be, I guess, the only solution is I buy all three physical versions and then I buy both the games digital. That's the only solution.
Yep.
No, I buy the first one. No, I bet. Okay, I gotta buy them both digital because if you have the second game digital because I bought the combo physical, I can't play the digital games without the combo physical in the system. I bet. Oh. Maybe. I don't know.
No, I would think that you wouldn't have to have the cartridge in the Switch to play the digital game.
No, I don't know. I just buy them both digital. It's the only way to know for sure. There's no possible other solution.
It would essentially be a separate game. It's not like it's going to be checking to see if you've got that cartridge.
All right,
you download.
We'll send that one to the lab. We'll let the scientists work on that one. We'll get a report back.
So. But both of those games will be available July 24th, $20 each. So,
or $60 if you're stupid.
So Sega this weekend had a little mini sort of presentation. They announced quite a bit of stuff. First, Shenmue 1 and 2 are coming to the PS4. Is that right, Ethan?
Yes.
That's cool. Is Shenmue 2 a digital download? They're both digital downloads. The disc is just like the facial animation thing.
So it's coming to PS4, Xbox One, and PC, if I remember correctly. Shenmue 1 and 2 will not be coming to the Switch. That I did see that. That's so weird.
I don't think those games have aged particularly well, but it's cool. I know people adore those things, so. The story is still pretty cool. It's just, if not the games have better realized that kind of open world, kind of real life thing that Shenmue had back in the day.
Yeah. I have never played Shenmue, so I don't know anything about the series.
It's something about looking for a bunch of sailors.
It's part of it.
That's all I remember from the good old Tech TV and G4 days.
About a forklift racing in there somewhere.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
And then let's see. Sega announced a new compilation of classic Sega games will be coming to the Switch in a package called Sega Ages.
This is cool.
It'll include more than 15 games, they said. Some of those include Sonic the Hedgehog, Thunder Force 4, Phantasy Star, and more.
How many of them do you gotta get digitally? That's like the question I have to ask everything now these days. This is what they've done to me.
I bet all of those games will be on the cartridge.
I really liked the Genesis Collection thing they did for the PS3. Ocean.
How long until they start calling it Sages or something?
Sagages.
Suckages? Oh, nope, we've already turned that into an insult. Well, Nintendo does what Suckage don't. I don't.
Let's not go there.
Nope, too late.
And then, lastly, they are going to be releasing the Mega Drive Mini.
Yay!
Before we go on, what that classic collection thing? What systems is that coming to? Do we know?
It's PS4, Xbox One, and Switch.
Okay. Oh, got it.
Yeah.
So, oh, that's that thing that's already like on Steam, right? It's got like the bedroom view.
I think so. Yes.
Oh, so it's literally on everything. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then yes,
this one will have the mod support.
Ooh. That's a good question. I don't know.
All right, so we got a Genesis Mini.
A Genesis Mini.
Okay, that's cool.
Ethan got very excited. Don't get too excited.
Oh,
why not?
Okay,
It's being made by the same people that make the current plug and play version of the Genesis that is already on the market.
I have zero excitement for this already.
So, yes,
just give me a Raspberry Pi. I can program one better than they can make.
At Games is the company that is partnering with Sega to make this this new system.
All right. Well, those flashback things in the past have been of questionable quality, so that does not necessarily give this one the best lead-in. I suppose we'll see. Maybe they can turn it around.
Yeah, I was following this on Twitter over the weekend, and the day they announced this, everybody got really excited that Sega was going to be bringing a miniature version of the Mega Drive, and they were going to be calling it the Mega Drive. Right. I don't think they were going to call it the Genesis.
Interesting. Okay. I can live with that.
And then the next day, the news came out that At Games confirmed they are the company that is making the system with Sega, and everybody just immediately said, well, I'm not interested in this anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I would understand why.
So, I mean, I think the biggest problem a lot of people have is terrible sound on those plug-and-play devices.
Yeah.
I think they come with like 60 games, but it's like 30 Genesis games and then 30 not Genesis games. Which I don't think Sega would do in whatever this official version of their...
Yeah, they've definitely got a lot of bad press to kind of work against them. So let's hope that they come out there and they nail this thing and it's awesome and everybody flocks to it. And there's enough of them for people to buy them. That would be fantastic.
Yeah. I think, though, that people, they're going to have a pretty big hill to climb to get people interested in this thing, considering at least the hardcore Genesis fan bunch.
Right.
Who have played these previous plug and play machines and have said almost unanimously that they're not very good. So they're gonna have to try to climb that hill and get over that if they want to sell a ton of these things.
Yeah, definitely.
It's not hard to do.
I imagine it probably is pretty hard, but you know, they have the resources to do it, and it can be done. We've seen the NES and the Super NES Mini do that stuff quite well. So,
yeah, they have the technology. They just don't know how to do it.
Sega should team up with Nintendo to make the Genesis Mini. Wouldn't that be something?
No, because then they'd only make 7 of them. Oh, people wanted this?
The SNES Mini has been widely available.
Yeah, I see that one around. I've seen 4 in the wild, so that's cool. Hopefully the NES Mini becomes as available, too. There's still there's still time for them to right the wrongs with the NES Mini. We shall see.
I really have no reason to want to pick up an SNES Mini, but I just want one on my shelf.
Yeah, it's cool. They're cool little things.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. So... Here's something interesting, though. Switch owners may soon be able to earn Xbox Live achievements.
Ew.
Huh?
There is an update or an update coming to Minecraft on the Switch, which some people have been eagerly anticipating. The Better Together update that would allow them to play online with players on Xbox, PC, mobile, that kind of thing. Well, apparently, a website, True Achievement, discovered that you will soon be able to earn achievements through that Switch version of the game. It's built off of the same engine as the Xbox, the Windows 10 version, the mobile version. All of those give you those achievements, and those achievements will carry over to the Switch. And apparently, it will also show you that those achievements were earned on a Switch on your Xbox gamer tag.
Weird.
That's kind of cool.
Very cool, yeah.
So
maybe this has a lot to do with why Sony wasn't down for the Better Together.
It's possible.
What? I don't want this PS system to say you got a trophy on the Switch. No way. We're walking.
Well, if you're going to play online on the Bedrock version of Minecraft on the Switch, you are going to have a game, an Xbox Live gamer tag.
So. Bedrock version? Has that got the Flintstones theme?
No, unfortunately, it doesn't.
Dang it. Not interested.
So, there are 79 achievements that you'll be able to earn 1,750 gamer score with. So, if you've played Minecraft on any other, on any Microsoft platform, you probably have all 1,750, but you'll be able to get it again with the Switch version of the game.
Yeah, I've got like five. I've got like five achievement points. I'm still waiting for you guys to walk me through this game.
Well, we need to do that. And then we're going to end the news with a couple of weird and funny stories. Apparently, a clerical error was the reason that a lot of Konami games didn't make it to the Virtual Console.
Sure.
Explain yourself.
Back before the Wii Virtual Console went live, Nintendo sent I have to find where this source came from. I didn't write it down in the notes. But Nintendo sent third parties a list with all of their titles on them and asked them which ones would be eligible for release on the Virtual Console. When Konami got the list, all of their games were mentioned. The problem is whoever filled it out forgot to checkmark certain titles before they sent it back to Nintendo. Nobody caught that mistake for years, and when the employee finally decided to update the list with the correct information, the opportunity didn't come up because they'd moved to a new position in the company.
Whoops, I forgot to put the checkbox next to Contra. Looks like he ain't getting it.
So that is apparently the funny reason that games like Contra, Castlevania Bloodlines, Rocket Knight Adventures never made it to the Virtual Console.
Seems a little fishy.
Sounds like someone needs to be put into the pachinko parlor mines.
Ooh. Ouch. That's no. That's
that was deep.
You go there, you don't come back.
Yeah, no kidding. Definitely you don't come back without a lot of smoke in your lungs. He's got the pachinko lung.
Ooh. That is not a disease you want.
No.
All right, and so our last story here comes from Georgia. There is a man in Georgia. His name's Julian Turner. He's a retro video game collector. He went to a flea market, I think, earlier in the month, picked up a copy of a couple of NES games. Not anything super special. Roller Games and Golf.
Roller Games pretty, is fun. Those are both fun games.
Yeah. So, but some things made him think something was a little weird with these copies of these games. First was that the copy of Roller Games was a PAL version of the game, which you normally wouldn't see in the middle of Georgia.
Yeah, that's weird.
The other thing that he said felt weird was he thought the cartridges were a little bit heavier than they should have been.
Okay.
So he bought both the games, took them home.
You seem weird. I'm going to buy them anyway.
Took them home. He got out a digital scale. There's actually a video on YouTube of him opening these games.
Of him weighing Pokemon cards and buying the ones that got the foil cards in them.
Jeez.
You know, I'm actually sitting here thinking, was he hoping that there was a conversion card inside? Because those heavier NES cartridges usually mean that there's a Famicom cartridge right. sitting inside a 72-pin connector.
That's one of the things he thought. But normally those cartridges, if they have that converter inside them, have 5 screws on the back. These only had 3.
Golf might be one that would have that too, right? Because it's an old NES game.
Yeah, Golf, Excite Bike.
I wouldn't think roller games.
Gyromite.
No, so he got them home. He thought maybe it was one of those things, but it turns out that's not the case. When he weighed them on his digital scale, they were about 50% heavier than they should have been.
Oof.
So he grabbed a screwdriver, unscrewed the backs of both of them.
Shannon's thinking, oh man, they got me Pokemon foil cards in these things.
And then he had to call the cops.
Huh?
There were drugs inside both of those video games.
Oh, that's not That's not what you want.
No.
Each of them had 2 silver packages that contained a white powdery drug.
Great.
So, at the time of recording this, he hadn't heard back from the police department as to what kind of drugs they were. A lot of people on his YouTube video were speculating it was heroin.
Yikes. So, like, that's a weird thing. You call up the cops, hi, I have drugs. I bought drugs accidentally. So this is going to sound weird, but I want you to come take these drugs because I don't want them, but I did buy them. I didn't know I was buying them, but please don't arrest me, but come take these drugs.
So he had been recording the whole thing.
I'd be so scared. I wouldn't know what to do. Like, oh my gosh.
Well, and apparently after he got done with this, he was poking around on the internet wanting to find out, you know, if his story was unique. No, it's not. Oh. Not at all. And he heard about another copy of Golf that someone had found $5,000 worth of $100 bills.
Whoa!
Inside it.
Gosh. Wow.
How do you get 5,000 bills into an NES copy of Golf? Man, they were tight in there. I didn't think that volume equation works.
Well, no, it's not 5,000 separate bills. It's $5,000 worth of $100 bills.
Oh, of $100 bills. Okay. Bills.
So it's 50.
Magnitude less, but okay. Yeah.
50 individual bills.
Did he call the cops on that one? Or like, hey, I guess I just got the right one today.
I don't know. That occurred back in 1985. So.
Man. I was buying the wrong NES games.
So apparently, go out there. If you find a copy of Golf, buy it because it might have something.
No, because now Shan's going to take his Pokemon scale into every vintage game store and start weighing the cards. You know that's what he's already thinking about. I know you, Shannon.
I was just going to assume Tony's trying to push drugs on kids now and make them buy NES cards.
No, very much not that.
So, yeah, the things you can find inside NES cartridges.
Yeesh.
So, but that is the news for this week. So, let's move on to listener feedback. And before we get started, Shelby, you want to give an update? We had told everybody this was the last week to submit their entries for the video game cross anime contest.
Yeah, we extended that 1 week because we only had one or two people write in, but now we extended it and we got some more people writing in. So we had 5 different people enter in. We had 6 prizes. So guess what? Everybody that wrote in got a prize.
There you go.
Everyone that writes in wins. For those of you that didn't write in and didn't win, hey, not a lot of people listen to this show. You should have wrote in. You might have won something just by default. So Cole, Sam, James, Charlie, and Ryan, you guys all win something. We are going to figure out who gets what prize off air. We'll let you guys know in email later. But I do kind of want to read through the submissions I sent in because these made me chuckle. So Cole wrote in. He was like, sorry, this is the best I could do. I'm like, that's okay. These are good. For Super Mario Cross Foolie Cooley, he calls it Super Mario Galaxy. That was kind of funny. That checks out.
Yep.
For Phantasy Star Cross Ruby, I couldn't really read what he wrote. I think it was Gundam WI7Y. I don't know. The penmanship on that one wasn't great, so that one's a little illegible.
Gundam Weiss?
Maybe it's Weiss. Yeah, Weiss or Weiss, whatever the character is from Ruby.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, we'll go with that. That makes sense. For Crash Bandicoot Evangelion, he just called it Pacific Rim, which I thought was funny. For Mario Kart Cross Trigon, Vash Dash.
That's good.
That's a good one. Rhythm Heaven Cross Kill a Kill is DDR. Really nailing it with just like repurposing titles that already exist. Mega Man Cross Dragon Ball Z, he called Mega Man Z Cell Saga, which works on multiple levels because I could see like a Mega Man game getting like three different releases. Yeah, that's pretty good. He wrote a description for that one. Dr. Gero replaces Dr. Wily. Cell is Mega Man. Mega Man bosses are the different androids. He needs to absorb their powers to become complete. That's pretty good. Pretty good side doc there. Cole, you win. Congratulations. Sam wrote in. He just had one. He put all his eggs in one basket. Crash Bandicoot Cross Evangelion. Dr. Neon Cortex Evangelion.
Very nice.
Dr. Neon Cortex Evangelion is the name. Crash fighting Cortex is Angels is the game. Aku Aku pilots the head of the Eva. Crash pilots the arms and torso, and Coco pilots the lower body. Also, the theme song is Crash singing the Neon Genesis theme by only singing whoa for each syllable. And he included a video, which I'm totally going to use the song somewhere in this podcast, because this was the first thing I saw this morning when I woke up and I started laughing uncontrollably.
Nice.
So thank you for that, Sam. James wrote in, "Hi guys, I'm not a huge anime fan, but I love Nintendo and mashups, so I thought I would submit a few titles. For Super Mario Cross Foolie Cooley, Mech Room Kingdom, pretty good. Okay. Animal Crossing Cross Lucky Star is Twilight, but nicer. I like this one a lot. Mario Party Cross Kill Me Baby is Slice and Dice. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Mario Kart Cross Trigon.
Wait.
What?
Was that Dice, D-I-C-E?
Yes. Yeah, he nailed it. That was a good one.
That's great.
Yeah, that's good. Mario Kart Cross Trigon, Mario Kart Double Vash.
Very nice.
Good use of the Vash thing. Yeah, totally him and Cole were certainly on the same wavelength on that one. Charlie wrote in, "I don't plan on winning anything with these clunkers, but I wanted to give support and let you know there are people out there." Well, guess what, Charlie? These clunkers did win.
Yeah,
I don't think they're clunkers at all. Super Mario Cross Foolie Cooley is side-scrolling mustached animaniacs. That's pretty accurate. Animal Crossing Cross Lucky Star, Child Sims in School.
That's good.
That's pretty good. And definitely, yeah. Yeah, Child, yeah. Man, Lucky Star Sims. Again, I just need to dream about that one for a second. Okay, I'm back. Ryan Thompson wrote in, he gave one for everything. It's pretty good. "I know nothing about anime, but humbly accept my contest submission. Has been listening since 180. So thank you for that. I'm going to go through these. Mario Cross Foolie Cooley is Super MFLCL. Fantasy Star Cross Ruby is Chroma Star Fantasy. I like that one. Danganronpa Cross Love Live, Murder School Idols. Direct to the point there. Yeah. Dead or Alive Cross Outlaw Star, Dead or Outlaw Starred. Mighty Switch Force Cross Full Metal Alchemist, Full Metal Firefighter. Full Metal Firefighter. That one's good.
That's a good one.
I like this one a lot. Gravity Rush Cross Tenchimuyo, Mucho Gravity. Which, if you told me Mucho Gravity was like some sort of Japanese soap opera, I would Spanish soap opera, I would totally believe you. Yakuza Cross K-On, Japanese walking stick deodorant.
That one made me laugh.
Took that a different direction. Totally. Crash and Neon Genesis, Crash Mechabots. Animal Crossing Cross Lucky Star, Lucky Star Crossing. This one made me giggle. Chibi Robo Cross Fairy Tale. Cute robot, cute girls? Metroid Cross G Gundam is Mighty Morphin Awesome Samus.
Pandering, there you go. That's a good one.
Pandering with that one a little bit, but that's okay. Mario Party Cross Kill Me Baby is Just Kill Me. It's a Mario Party.
I think that's my favorite.
Tony likes that one.
I think that's my favorite.
No More Heroes Cross Cowboy Bebop is No More Bon Jovi Songs.
Aw.
Take that, Bon Jovi. Finally times. Somebody knocked him down a peg, put him in his place. Mario Kart Cross Trigon is MK Tri. That is a Monster Hunter title, isn't it? Almost.
Monster Hunter Tri, yeah.
Yeah.
Splatoon Cross Girls in Panzer is Ink and Fan Art.
Nice.
Mega Man Cross Dragon Ball Z is Blue Bomb and Super Saiyan Balls. Balls. Well, yeah. The Z is capitalized on that one. Very important. Elite Beat Agents Cross Sword Art is running out of ideas now. Way to wrap that one all together. So congrats, everyone. Gentlemen, thank you for writing in. We all got a chuckle out of those. We'll be getting the prizes out to you soon enough. So look forward to an email coming up pretty soon, as soon as I get around to not being lazy about it, which will probably be like Monday or Tuesday. So, but yeah, all right. Thanks everybody who wrote in.
Yes, absolutely. Congratulations to everybody. You all win something. So, very nice. Well, we will definitely do stuff like this again in the future.
Yeah, it's fun.
All right. Lang via email. He sent us an email, and he reminded me about it this week. He sent it a couple weeks ago, but I wanted to make sure everybody was on the show. And he says, I don't think the crew understand the question I asked last week. And this goes back to his email that he had sent us about favorite in-game content. Favorite
post-game content. Yeah, I guess we misinterpreted.
So he says, favorite in-game content such as raids and dungeons for weapons or fashion in MMOs and Destiny, or favorite post-game, post-credit content such as Battle Frontier and Pokemon Emerald, or endless mode, survival mode for lots of games after the credits have already rolled.
So how did we get this wrong? I remember I mentioned Nier, but maybe you don't play that?
I think we just talked about things we liked in credit sequences and stuff like that.
We brought up Zombie U, though, didn't we? Because you literally play after the credits of that one.
Maybe.
If we didn't, Zombie U. Maybe, because you literally play after the end of the credits.
Yeah. I know I was specifically talking about credit things that were happening in games that allowed you to play games during those credits.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So
he means like you beat the game, get your credits, and then you can go and do so much more.
Okay. Yeah,
it drops you back into the game and you can still play.
Okay.
Well, here you go. I have the perfect answer. Animal Crossing. You get the credits every time KK sings a song. That game never ends.
Oh god! I don't know that that counts as post.
That game never ends. Oh no!
I mean, you could still in any Mario game recently would be the type of thing, because you play through the game once, you get credits, and then you play through it again because it gives you a completely new set of levels.
Yeah.
I can't remember if I mentioned this last time or not, but the Tatsunoko versus Capcom had like a cool mini game with the credits. Like you were riding a bicycle and doing this weird side scrolling thing, trying to collect letters from the people in the credits. That was pretty cool. But I know that's not necessarily what he's asking about.
If it's not, he'll be sure to write in and let you know.
It's true. You know, I was specifically thinking of, I think, Mario 3D Land on the DS. That was a game I played through it the first eight levels or eight worlds and played through it pretty quickly. But then it opened up a completely new set of eight worlds to play through that were much harder than that first set that you played through before the credits.
Y'all ever have one of those games where like you beat it and you think, okay, I'm done, and then it turns out, oh, there's still another half of this game that nobody saw coming?
Yes.
Like
Ni No Kuni.
Ni No Kuni. Solotarobo Red the Hunter did that on DS. Like, there was just like, I thought I beat the game. Like, all right, I'm going to write this review. Oh, what do you mean there's another half of the game?
Ni No Kuni has this moment where, like, you fight the big bad, and then the game just kind of drops you back in, and you go and you start realizing that, oh, all these side quests really add up to the ultimate ending to the game.
Hmm.
You're like, oh, great. Now I actually have 50 more hours worth of side quest stuff to do.
Hmm. I mean, you said you were getting that platinum, so you committed yourself.
Monster Hunter has a lot of post-game or post-game stuff.
So. Especially the new one.
You know what? I changed my answer. Monster Hunter, because stinking credits roll, and that's when the game starts.
Yeah. Yeah, for anybody that is, you know, a veteran of Monster Hunter, that is absolutely the case.
Yeah, you put 50 hours in, you get your credits, and what it might as well say is, Ready Player One, just go.
Yeah.
Wait, the movie?
No, that wasn't intended to be like, you know, never mind. It might as well just say, okay,
here Ready
you
Player go. One's not sponsoring this podcast. That wasn't a plug accidentally. We didn't... Oh.
So,
by the way, that Soul to Robo Red the Hunter DS game, incredibly expensive now. I don't know what happened, but...
Really?
Yeah. Like, it's like over $100, because I was thinking about that game. Like, I would like to try to mess around with that a little bit. That game was fun. And I went to buy it, and I'm like, oh, well, never mind.
I think that's on Wii as well.
Is it? Oh, okay. Maybe I'll do that.
I think so. So, well, there you go. Hopefully that answers your question, Lang. Monster Hunter is the correct answer. Cole via Facebook says, since I may never get to see play the German-Japanese perfection that is Girls in Panzer.
You know what? You can buy the shirt, though, so that's okay.
What are some of your favorite games with different languages / subtitles in them? For example, and this would have been one of mine, Assassin's Creed has Ezio speaking Italian with English at certain parts.
Oh, that's cool.
And I actually played through, I made sure to play through those early Assassin's Creed games with Ezio speaking English so that my children didn't understand the things that he was saying, because there's a lot of language in that game.
You mean he was speaking Italian?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Okay.
My best friend played Girls in Panzer Dream Tank Match, and all I got was this lousy t-shirt.
There's some good stuff. Like, we could go into business just making Girls in Panzer shirts. I know a guy. I should buy at least one of those shirts, right? I don't know. I don't want to necessarily feed that machine, but it would be a nice way to wrap up that joke. Maybe just buy a white shirt and get a Sharpie and just make my own.
Ethan got into the Girls in Panzer shirt designs this week.
Yes, I did.
So
that was a lot easier to do than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it turns out. Well, what was the question? I'm thinking of Girls in Tanks. Different languages. I don't know. I haven't played a lot of games. Most of the games I play are either in English or Japanese. I don't know that I've played anything in a language other than that. But going on that, I'd say my favorite would be the Owandan stuff in Japanese.
Yeah.
While it's in Japanese, that there's so much comic book art to that whole presentation that you can kind of follow what's going on pretty well, even without knowing the language. So that would be my answer.
Yakuza is a good series.
Yeah.
That all the characters speak Japanese.
I'm going to say Taiko no Tatsujin. It's fantastic. You do not need to speak English you do not need to speak or read Japanese to play and to enjoy that game.
I would say you don't need to speak English either.
Yep.
There's probably somebody out there that doesn't speak English or Japanese and loves Taiko.
You just need to know red or blue. Red or blue.
Yeah. If you're colorblind, well, I would stink.
I played a couple hours of Breath of the Wild with German language turned on for a while.
How'd that work out?
That was kind of weird.
I bet. German is such a... Everything in German sounds so intense.
Yeah, it does. It does. I was... I just wanted to see, because, you know, I speak a little tiny, tiny bit of German.
Right.
So I was interested in seeing if I could catch anything, you know, trying to help me as I'm learning a little more German. It didn't really. They were going too fast.
Yeah, that's usually how that goes. Learning a language is hard. Turns out, I really need to get back to studying Japanese.
So, there you go. Any other examples?
Most stuff I have is going to speak English with, or speak Japanese with English subtitles. So.
What was that, sir?
What?
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 No, I said what?
Hebo Tap third? Dance Hero.
I missed it again. Whatever. I don't care anymore. Move on.
Let's see. Our last one comes from Sam via Facebook, who wants to know, this is for you, Shannon, what is the absolute best bargain you've ever pulled off?
Oh, gosh. Pandora's box has been opened.
I would...
Was it the time you stole a system from Hastings?
I didn't steal a system from Hastings. But I will definitely recount that. So, do you guys remember the game America's Test Kitchen Let's Get Cooking?
Oh, yeah.
For the DS?
Yeah, I just took the shrink wrap off of my copy the other day.
This was a game that dropped down to about $1.25 because it was so poorly sold. I bought it at Best Buy for $1.25, and Hastings had a promotion where any Nintendo published title was guaranteed a $25 trade-in credit. I bought all the copies from Best Buy, traded them all in at Hastings, and bought a Wii U.
That's one way you could interpret that. You could also interpret that as I stole a Wii U from Hastings and they went out of business. You know, call them like I see them.
They should have just better worded their deals. Like,
Or just told you no. That's what they should have done. It's like, get out of here. Or what are you doing?
Me no. I mean, the smirk on the guy's face as he's scanning these things in, you know, he knows.
He knew. What's
up. He knew what was up.
He was an accomplice, is what you mean.
No, I think, you know, if you get the right...
If you find somebody that maybe doesn't like their job so much, maybe they'd be willing to help you out.
Most scenarios within a retail environment, there is some high school student just trying to make a paycheck standing in the way of you in a great deal.
When you say it like that, got a little too real for me there at some point. I don't know.
I hate to end the show on a downer.
You think that is the best bargain you've ever pulled off?
It's one of the best. Probably the most recent one being the drop mix stuff. I mean, getting all of those Transformers promotional cards for free and turning them on eBay and then using that money to fund this ridiculous collection. That's been pretty good.
Definitely the snake eating its own tail at some point there. You're just feeding the machine back into the machine.
I mean, GameStop even messes up big time too. I mean, their most recent spring sale overlapped with some trade bonuses they had. So like I was buying Switch games for $20 a piece and trading them in for like $32 after their trade bonuses. Stuff like that. I mean, if you pay attention, these companies don't.
The end of that sentence. If you pay attention, these companies don't. You're done. That's all you need to say.
That's true.
So.
All right. Well, there you go. So that will be the show for this week, guys. So if anybody out there has any comments, questions, feedback about anything you heard on the show this week, you can send that to podcast@nintendo-oki.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Nintendo_Oki. Head on over to YouTube, check out the stuff we've got going on over there, or come on over to the Facebook group and talk to us there. Thank you, Ethan, for being on the show this week.
I've leveled up my gaming skills, but surprisingly, they're pretty useless in daily life.
Thank you, Shannon.
I need a Dream Tank Match t-shirt.
Shelby, as always, thank you for co-hosting this craziness.
Let's make a pact. Let's all buy Girls in Panzer Dream Tank Match t-shirts.
And Bullet Witch.
Well, give that a couple weeks.
We couldn't go a single show without
mentioning. It's not my fault. It's not my fault this time.
It's coming at Steam soon.
Bullet Witch was announced for PC this week, so...
White breaking news!
We have to buy that.
Guess what's coming up going to be in my What You've Been Buying section in a couple weeks.
Speaking of ending the show with a downer, gosh.
And having said that, we'll see everybody again in 7 days. We'll be right back.
If I go to Gamer Beware and type in Bullet Witch, what do you think will happen?
The internet will explode.
I'm doing
we'll see an influx of cats in the populations.
Yep, I survived Bullet Witch. Eat, sleep, play Bullet Witch. It works! The system works! It's a Bullet Witch thing. You wouldn't understand. Keep calm and play Bullet Witch. I can't keep calm. I'm playing Bullet Witch.
All I care about is Bullet Witch and maybe like three people and pizza.
Bullet Witch champion? There's no competitive aspect to that game at all.
Oh, there is now.
Too busy Dibs. Playing Bullet Witch. Ethan needs that shirt. No, I survived Bullet Witch. We all need that shirt. Well, except for Tony. You don't get that one.
No, I didn't survive.
Nope.
He got out while he still could.
Yep.
360 didn't survive.